have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
I've been hurting with pain inside. I've had trouble on every hand. So many days I could barely stay. My hands got tired of holding on. Felt like I just could not go on. Every time I almost let go, God has kept me. Every time I almost let go, God has kept me. There's been times when I could not see. I had to cry myself to sleep. I've had people to walk away. I've been put down for my mistakes. And there's been times when I felt alone. I've had to walk some lonely roads. But every time I almost let go, God has kept me. And every time I almost let go, God has kept me. No. I wanted to throw the towel in. Didn't want to cry, didn't want to pray. Throw my hands in the air, just walk away. God never left me, never let me go. His grace and mercy always held me close. Every time I almost let go, God has kept me. And every time I almost let go,
and now it's time for our Faithful Financial Moments with Sister Sharon Richard.
Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. I recall someone that I was advising telling me that they found it difficult to step out on faith and handle their financial responsibilities as the Lord was directing them because he couldn't see how what he thought the Lord was telling him to do would help him get to a stronger position financially. He continued to make financial decisions based on what he could see with certainty rather than being obedient to God's counsel. He kept trying to improve his financial position using his knowledge and even some discipline in controlling his costs. Still, his problems continued because those things that he relied upon to gain confidence in what he thought he should do were not certainties at all. He typically anticipated a certain amount of income to meet his obligations, but suddenly his company reduced his compensation. Just as he revised his plan, new unexpected debts appeared. This circle continued to occur, and my friend could see no end and wondered why God was not supporting his efforts to improve his financial position. This type of situation is not uncommon. Many Christians find themselves experiencing financial problems while actually working very diligently to avoid them. I believe the reason for this is that God wants us to rely on him. He expects us to continually seek him and to be obedient, even in the natural, it seems illogical. Remember, God sees all things. He knows what will happen before we can even imagine it. In John chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, Jesus exclaims, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful." In the same way that a gardener prunes a vine, God prunes his children by way of trials so that we will depend on him more and remain connected to him on an ongoing basis and ultimately produce more spiritual fruit. Regardless of how difficult our financial problems, we must know that God can solve them. He is in control, and because he loves us unconditionally, we know with confidence that we can trust him to allow only those financial trials that are within his will. At the same time, we must know that we can also trust him to provide the wisdom, direction, and strength to get us to a higher place. Remember, as you read further in John 15 to verse 7, Jesus tells us, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." Stay connected to him and be diligent in your obedience. Your faith will be rewarded. This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your gospel news, followed by the Pastor's Corner. And guess what? It's ladies' night, so stay tuned.
Hi, everybody. I'm Nina Taylor, and here is this week's gospel news. One of the major figures in gospel music in the 21st century is Pastor Donnie McClurkin. He occupies a territory that lies somewhere between the modern gospel of Kirk Franklin, the gospel soul of Andre Crouch, and the contemporary traditionalism of Marvin Winans, establishing his own church in Freeport, New York in 2001. By that point, he had one hit record under his belt, an enormous 1996 set of Warner Alliance and the Perfecting Church served as a foundation for McClurkin to not only build upon his musical career, but to expand into television and film. He formed the McClurkin Singers while he was an adolescent. He would form the New York Restoration Choir, which recorded an album called I See a World, before he headed to Detroit to become an associate minister in 1989. McClurkin signed with Warner Alliance, which released his first self-titled debut album in 1996. This album featured the hit Stand, along with Speak to My Heart. It was revived from the New York Restoration Choir. Donnie McClurkin turned it into a hit, winning a Grammy for Traditional Soul Gospel Album and earning a Dove Award nomination. It would later be certified gold. This helped establish Donnie McClurkin as a star in his own right. He contributed two songs to the 1998 animated film The Prince of Egypt, gained greater momentum with the 2000 release of Live in London and More, which hit number one 1 on the Billboard Gospel Charts and was on its way to platinum certification. It also gave him his only R&B crossover in the form of the single We Fall Down. In 2014, on RCA Inspiration, Donnie McClurkin, the album Duets, it debuted at number 4 on the Gospel Charts, and in 2016, the same label issued The Journey Live. Early 2019 saw McClurkin issue the single Not Yet, which was inspired by surviving a serious automobile accident. A few more singles appeared throughout the year in advance of his next album, A Different Song, which was released in November. The Stellar Awards not only recognizes the year's best performances in the genre, but honors gospel music icons and those who have been instrumental in advocating for the gospel industry. Here's the 2021 Stellar Gospel Music Award winners. Artist of the Year, Pastor Mike Jr. Song of the Year, Something Has to Break Live featuring Tasha Cobb Leonard and Kiara Sheard. Male Vocalist of the Year, Jonathan McReynolds. The Albertina Walker Female Vocalist of the Year, Tasha Cobb Leonard. Group Duo of the Year, The Clark Sisters. New Artist of the Year, Maverick City Music. Album of the Year, Maverick City Music, Volume 3, Part 1. Choir of the Year, J.J. Harrison. Producer of the Year, Jonathan McReynolds. Contemporary Group Duo of the Year, Anthony Brown and Group Therapy. Traditional Group Duo of the Year, The Clark Sisters. Contemporary Male Artist of the Year, Jonathan McReynolds. Traditional Male Artist of the Year, Donnie McClurkin. Contemporary Female of the Year, Tasha Cobb Leonard. Traditional Female of the Year, Ja'Kalyn Carr. Contemporary Album of the Year, Kiara by Kiara Sheard. Traditional Album of the Year, Changing Your Story, Ja'Kalyn Carr. Urban Inspirational Single or Performance of the Year, I Got It, Pastor Mike Jr. Music Video of the Year, Something Has to Break Live, James Harrison the Fourth. Traditional Choir of the Year, Ricky Dillard. Contemporary Choir of the Year, J.J. Harrison. Instrumental Gospel Album of the Year, My Tribute by Myron Butler. Special Event Album of the Year, The First Ladies of Gospel, The Clark Sisters Biopic Soundtrack. Rap Hip Hop Gospel Album of the Year, Big Freedom Sessions, Pastor Mike Jr. Youth Project of the Year, Anthony White and Detroit Youth Choir. Quartet of the Year, Young Men for Christ. Recorded Music Packaging of the Year, Royalty, Live at the Ryman, Justin Foster and Drew Kellum. Praise and Worship Album of the Year, Royalty, Live at the Ryman, Tasha Cobb Leonard. The James Cleveland Lifetime Achievement Award goes to the Clark Sisters. The Aretha Franklin Icon Award went to Tremaine Hawkins. Thomas A. Dorsey Most Notable Achievement Award, Bishop Dr. Leonard Scott. Ambassador Dr. Bobby Jones Legends Award, Pastor Shirley Caesar. Stellar Honors Hall of Fame inductees include Carrie Douglas, Dr. Teresa Harrison, and Skip Barrett. Well, that's your Stellar Award winners for 2021 and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor, reminding you to connect with me on all social media outlets. You can find all my outlets on my website at msninataylor.com. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station.
Hey, what's going on? It's Dr. Andrew Gibson, pastor of the Vernon Baptist Church in Chicago, Illinois, and you're on with Elation Radio and Kimmy Kim. Listen, you are tuned in to the right place. If you're looking for good gospel music, great topics ranging from health to gospel, you are in the right place. Listen, again, this is Dr. Andrew Gibson from Vernon Baptist Church, where our service times are 10:45 and 1:45. Our 10:45 service is at 6400 South Champlain, and our 1:45 service is 6801 South Bell. Listen, again, I'm excited to be on Elation Radio with Kimmy Kim. Stay tuned. Don't turn that down. You're getting ready to hear the best of the best.
Hello, I'm Nina Taylor, your gospel news reporter, and you're listening to The Pastor's Corner with my friend, Elder Ernest Richard, on Elation Radio.
Well, hello, I guess they're waiting for me to open my mouth. No, I want you to handle this, sis. I thought you was waiting. Go ahead. I apologize. I'm sitting here. I said, wait a minute. Why am I unmuted? Go ahead and do what you
do. I just want to hear your voice since I saw you. You know, I was like, the men are on. So I wanted to say hi to the men. Hello, everyone. Well, this is Kimmy Kim, and I'm just amazing. It's an amazing day to have another Ladies Night. And before we begin, I just want to say hello to you. How you doing?
I'm alive and I'm well. God's doing great things. And, of course, you know, a few things have taken place. But to God be the glory. We're moving forward. I'm just excited to have another opportunity. I don't know what you ladies are going to talk about tonight, but me and the fellas are going to sit back, relax, and enjoy. And you don't even have to invite us in. We're just going to hear what you got to say.
Oh, we're going to still invite you in. But also, I got to give a shout out to beautiful First Lady for the Financial Freedom Moment, and also to my sister Nina Taylor for the Gospel News. And I really love getting wonderful insight on better money management and Gospel News. And the Stellar Awards are around the corner. But without further ado, I'm going to pass the torch over to Pastor Henderson because it is her turn to start this wonderful podcast and this wonderful discussion. So how you doing, my sister? How you doing? Pastor Henderson? Okay. She must be muted. You know how sometimes that happens. I just want to say how you doing on today, and we talked about this wonderful topic earlier, and so I want her to start the show with a great topic that we have. I want to do a drum roll and wait on her to come on because I really believe that I want her to introduce this wonderful subject. So, Pastor Henderson, oh, she's here. But she's probably muted, or maybe away. But before we begin, I would like to unmute all the other ladies who want just to see. I don't know the agenda of this podcast. Is Pastor, Minister Henderson on? Are you on today?
Yes, I am. Praise the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times.
Praise the Lord.
And praise shall continue to be in my mouth. Amen. I'm just happy to be on with the ladies tonight.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. And I am waiting on Pastor Henderson. I know she's there. She probably had it on mute and was talking. Weren't you, sister? I know you were. I hear your laughter now. And how are you doing today? She's there. Okay. So, my sister, do you mind praying us in? And then what we'll do is wait for Pastor Henderson to come on.
Amen. You talking to me?
Yes, Minister Henderson.
Okay,
yes.
Awesome. Yes, of course. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we thank you for another day that you have blessed us with on today. We ask, Lord God, that you would just be in our midst today. Lord God, we thank you for those who have come together to discuss your word, Lord God, and to glory in your presence. We thank you, Lord God, for each and every blessing, Lord God, that you have bestowed upon us. We ask you just let something be said on today that will encourage, uplift, Lord God, motivate, and just cause someone to go on another day, Lord God, and give you glory and give you praise.
Yes.
And Lord God, let something be said that would make someone turn their hearts to you, God. We just bless your name for everything you're doing, Lord God, in our presence, Lord God, and just be in our midst, God, on today. And we just give you all the glory, all the praise, and all the glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. And now I'm going to try it again. Pastor Henderson,
Amen.
Are you away? Are you there?
Amen.
Amen.
Can you hear me? Amen. This is the day
now
of
I can hear you.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm not sure what happened. My phone was not on mute, so but nevertheless, I am heard. Amen.
Yes.
How is everybody? Amen.
We are good. And before you begin your discussion, I just want to say thank you for this wonderful topic, and then I'm going to pass you the torch. We have all the lines unmuted, so all the beautiful ladies, I'm not sure who on. I believe we do have Apostle Felicia, though, on as well, if I'm correct me. And everyone else, after the discussion of the topic is mentioned, please just announce yourself so we can make sure that you're on. And if you want to be involved, it's going to be amazing. Of course, we have First Lady.
Yes, I am here. Praise the Lord. And I do want to introduce you, my sister in love, too, who's also on the line.
Amen.
Yay.
Amen. If I can do
Amen.
That. I can do that. So her name is the one and only, this is a strong, just beautiful woman of God, and she is Reverend Dr. Eunice Young Booker.
So, glad to be here. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God.
Amen.
God the glory.
Yes, yes. So she is officially our, also happens to be our show's host, the Pastor's Corner host, sister.
Oh, my.
Welcome.
God is good.
Thank you. Amen. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Amen. Welcome. Amen. At this time, let's do this. Let's go ahead. We had our prayer. Amen. Let's go ahead and find out who's on the line. If you can just introduce yourself and just say hello to the audience that's listening. If you're on the line, just go ahead and announce yourself.
Well, I feel like I've already been announced, but I'll announce myself again. I am Reverend Eunice Young Booker, and I, as First Lady said, I am the pastor's sister, oldest sister, and thank you again for having me. I know I'm going to enjoy it. I can't wait to get started talking about the Good Samaritan. I cannot wait, so thank you.
Amen. We know we have to head in. What else did we have? I heard another, but I didn't catch it.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Is there, I'm trying to find out who else is on the line with us. Do we have any other
documents? I just heard Apostle Felicia.
This is Felicia.
Okay, amen. We thank and praise God, amen, for tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for this time tonight as we go into our topic, oh God. We ask, oh God, that you would be glorified, that you would be the hindrance right now in the name of Jesus. And we ask that you have your way as we go into your word tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a topic tonight. When I woke up in the morning, this morning, the topic came to me about the Samaritan. And the topic actually is entitled Love Connection. And the scripture is coming out of St. Luke, the 10th chapter, dealing with the Good Samaritan, which is a very familiar scripture, but we're going to read it. And it reads as such, St. Luke, the 10th chapter, starting with verse 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, what neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Amen. And so this is about the Good Samaritan, and it starts off in verse 27 when it says that, and he answering said, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And as my opening, I just like to say that there is a connection between our love for God and our love for our neighbor. And when we have the true love of God in our life, we will love our neighbor. So this topic tonight is entitled The Love Connection. The Love Connection. Amen. I'd like to begin by asking the question tonight. What does this parable mean? We've heard this parable preached. We've heard it taught, perhaps, in Bible classes. We've heard other people talk about it. But I want to ask tonight, start out with the question of the meaning of the parable. What does this parable mean to you individually? And we'll start with Dr. Kimmy Kim.
Well, this parable demonstrates the importance of not just loving people that look lovable, but also loving those that you don't know. It also means loving your enemies and people that you don't get along with. It also means like loving those that don't look like you. So love is a deed. Like I mentioned earlier, talk about this. Love is a deed, and God is displaying to us the importance of loving one another, because I read in today in Galatians 3:28 that God doesn't care if you're a Jew, he doesn't care if you're a Gentile, he doesn't care if you're black, white, rich, poor, a female, male, we're all one in Christ. So with that being said, when you see someone who is in need, who have a need, and you have that need, it's not your decision, and you must wait on the Holy Spirit, but it's not your decision to say, well, I don't think this person's going to use the money or eat the food that I purchased, but it's not for us to decide. We must still bless that, because I really believe the more you give, the more you receive, and when you become a believer in this wonderful family, it's like you want to help as much as you can. You cannot help everyone, but the Good Samaritan teaches us that it shouldn't matter what the person looks like. If you see that person has a need, whether it is someone that you know or someone you're not familiar with, help them, because God is watching you, and he says, if you do this whatever you do unto these, you're doing unto me. So if we have a relationship with God, we will feed the need. We will go see the sick. We will visit those wonderful things in the Great Commission. So that would be my intake.
Amen. Amen. Do we have another? Minister Henderson?
Yes, of course. What this means to me, the story of the Good Samaritan, is that you should never become so high-minded or so carried away with your own self that you forget that we are supposed to be servants of God. We're supposed to serve the way Jesus served. We are supposed to be the hands and the feet of God in the earth. We are the salt of the earth. It reminds me of the scripture that says, though I speak with tongues of men and angels but have not love, then I've become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. It means that basically, you know, we have to understand that if we don't show love one to another, then we aren't disciples. We don't even fit the description of a disciple if we can't stop and say, I see this person over here. They need something, and I have it, and I can help. If you don't stop and do that or share what you have to make somebody else feel better, or even just something as simple as saying hello, speaking. I mean, love is so vast. It can be shown in so many different ways, big and small. But it is an action word, and action speak louder than words. You can say, I love someone, but if you don't show it, then how do we know you love?
I like that, because love is an action word. Yes, and you show love. It's definitely an action word. Yes. So we have another one. I want to tell what it means to you.
Well, I would say, I agree with everything that my sister said, and I think the key is we are called to love even those that may seem difficult to love, and those Could be people that, you know, may be going through challenges, but it doesn't matter. We're called to love everyone. So we always have to have a heart to serve them, to love on them, to encourage them, even in the midst of whatever challenges and trials that they may be facing. Because even in the example that my sister gave about, you know, sometimes, you know, we see people in the street and they may be asking for something and we may be thinking, boy, that person looks able-bodied and looks like they could get a job. Mm-hmm. And so we start forming mm-hmm. conclusions. But either way, regardless of what the situation is, we know something is probably missing and that person needs to know the love of God. So we have to mm-hmm. always be that example to show that love of God and not hold back.
I would just like to add, one thing. I agree with everything that has been said. Yeah. The one thing that I look at is that you love them and you do for them out of that love, expecting nothing in return. And not only that, not expecting to be rewarded because Amen. You've done something nice for somebody. So that's what I think about. But regardless, we are called to love others. We are. And as the sister said earlier, you love, not only expecting nothing in return, but you love knowing that when you give out love, you're giving out Jesus. You're doing it. Yeah. And he said, as you've done it for one, you've done it for me. And you're giving him, and you're showing who he is through you. He's showing himself through you. That's all I wanted to add, is that, you know, think about not expecting anything in return.
Yeah. I like that. I like everything that I heard, and all of it's all good and it's all true, and that's all true. Love is an action, and you do not judge based on, you know, your opinions of the situation, because love just acts, and love is an action word, and you are giving mm-hmm. them Jesus. And I like what you said about it, nothing looks for nothing in return. You know, I was thinking mm-hmm. about the difference between love and lust. Lust is something in return. Lust is looking for something back. But love mm-hmm. is, you know, love gives. It's not looking for return. I do because I love you, not because I'm looking to get anything back from you. That's mm-hmm. real love. A lot of times mm-hmm. people think that they are loving when really they're doing something with a selfish motive behind it. And it's not really mm-hmm. genuine love, because it's looking for an expectation of, well, if I do this, and if you don't do that back, then the love is not there. And that's not real love. That's mm-hmm. not God's love anyway, because God loves us in that capacity. Mm-hmm. So that was good. I like that you added that in there. I wanted to ask the question, what does the Bible tell us about our obligation? Because we do have an obligation as believers to reach out to those that are hurting, those that are just unfortunate. So what is our obligation as a believer to help the sick and the widows and the fatherless and those that are imprisoned? Or is there an obligation, you know, that we have as believers to reach out? And I want to answer that one. Yes, we do as believers have an obligation to reach out and making that connection with those that are different from us, you know, whether it be culture, ethnic, you know, economically, we have an obligation to reach out. But what is tell us about reaching out to those sick, the widow, the fatherless, those in prison, the hurting? What does the Bible, what scripture can you stand on, or what does the Bible tell us about that? Even if you don't have a scripture, just what you know of the Word of God.
Well, I'm thinking about the Great Commission found in Matthew's. It says that, you know, when you are a believer, you're called to go and spread the good news gospel. And that means within your country, within your state, out of the country, it doesn't matter. And so when you do that Great Commission, you're going to have that heart to serve, meet the needs of mm-hmm. everyone. Everyone may have a different need. This person may have a different need versus this person. But whatever it is, before you can even really minister to them or evangelize to them, you must meet their needs. They're not going to hear the gospel. So that's why love is an action word. It says that love is kind. Love is is meek. Love is compromising. Love is, you know, it's so many different traits of love found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And one thing we must understand that love is overall is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So that was an action. That was a deed that he did. So we must display that same love to others. And like my sister says, you must not know, you shouldn't let your right hand know what the left hand is doing. So when you do an act, it's not to be showcased on Facebook. Oh, I gave $20,000 to a homeless. You know, that's not real giving. Real giving is that silent giving. It's like that still voice giving, like God, when he talks to us, that no one knows. And that is true giving. So what I would say is that we are mandated to go spread the good news gospel. And when people see the light in you, they're going to be contagious if you come with the right motives. I mean, you can't undermine people. You can't treat them like you are so high-mighty that you can't really bless them, because I have been blessed with women when I go to visit them in the prison. I allow them to talk because they have ministered to me. I'm like, wow, these women are powerful. I'm thinking that I'm bringing my Bible, man. I go home getting blessed. So sometimes it's a two-way street when you minister to people. Let them talk.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Good. And I'm looking at verse 30, and it says, and Jesus said when he began, it was a certain man that he had went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves. So he's on his way. He was found himself in harm's way. He was stripped of his raiment, and he was wounded. And they departed, and they were leaving him for dead. So why is it that, so he was a helpless person, he was stripped, he was mud, he was left for dead, you know, wounded, you know, unto death almost, half dead. So why is it that as believers, we have a hard time reaching out to someone who is challenged, someone that may be having a hard time? In this case, he was wounded, but there are a lot of wounded believers. There are a lot of wounded Christians. Yeah. There are a lot of people that are hurt in the church and out of the church. Why is it that we sometimes find it difficult to reach out to that one that is having a hard time? They may have lost a loved one. They may have had challenges in life. And sometimes it seems like people stay away from those kind of people. You know, they don't really make the connection that should be made. And I don't know if it's sometimes that they feel like, you know, they don't know what to say or what to do or how to do that. But it's very evident that this person is needing help. Why do you think that the connection is not there? And I'm sure all of us can say that Tabby was in a situation where they saw where this person was just left, you know, in that situation, and no one really was reaching out to them. What causes that disconnect? What causes that disconnect?
Sometimes people are, I won't say afraid, but ashamed of the different challenges that they have made. And when they see someone else going through that, it's not always received to share that experience with them, due to judgment, due to, oh, you should know better because, you know, you were raised in church, you're in leadership, whatever the rebuttal may be. I am a firm believer that when it comes to the gospel, you should be selfless. It's all about the kingdom of God with that. I meet a young lady who has gone through some similar things that I have gone through, again, as someone has stated, give them the opportunity to tell me what's going on instead of me assuming, instead of me forcing the conversation, because sometimes you can get more out of a person if you just have attentive listening. And that opens up the door for you to minister to them. But we as some women, I'm not going to say all women, some women just feel so ashamed to pour out their testimony. But scripture let us know that we are overcome by that. Mm-hmm. So I see that a lot in ministry where, and then I've also heard the statement, oh, well, if I told you my story or if I shared my testimony, you wouldn't respect me. It's not about me respecting you. We have to dismiss that. We have to delete it. We have to kill that, because that's a spirit. Tell me what you went through, how you got over it, and how you can bring me out of what I'm going through. So again, a lot of people are so ashamed of releasing, of being transparent nowadays based on judgment. So anytime mm-hmm. you're loving as Christ loved, you forget about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to forget about yourself and have Christ on your mind when you're ministering. You can't pour out your flesh. You can't pour out your hurt. And I heard there was something said earlier about that. People get in the pulpit and they pour out their hurt and then innocent blood is shed. But yeah, we'll go further with that one.
Okay. Anyone else? Anyone else on that? Because we're talking about the love connection, because God's love, you know, it connects with the hurting, you know. And I think one of the things is sometimes we lack a sense of discernment and among believers, and that there's not enough. There used to be a time when I think back on the early days, you know, there was more, it seems like there was more discernment in the church where people can discern what was going on. And even if they didn't say it in the midst of the congregation, you know, you would have someone to come, a mother or anyone who had that gift who was operating would come and sit next to you and just talk to you about your situation. Mm-hmm. And you knew it had to be God, because they didn't know mm-hmm. you had mm-hmm. not exposed that mm-hmm. situation. And I think that's so much mm-hmm. needed in this day and time, is that spirit of discernment, because when you really have the love of God and really have the real spirit, it does discern the hurt of another person or what another person's going through. And I think sometimes the disconnect is sometimes it's trying to identify with them without making them feel uncomfortable about that situation. But I really believe that mm-hmm. when God is leading you, you should be able to go mm-hmm. and say whatever it is that God needs you to say to that person, because it might be a matter of that wound being left open or that wound being healed by that oil that's poured into their life. And so, you know, it's so important to make those connections. So anyone else, any comments on that?
Yeah, and I think that's awesome. I also think that sometimes people find it difficult, you know, to have compassion for another. You know, one of my former pastors used to say, don't be so heavily bound that you're no earthly good. But sometimes mm-hmm. people, you know, as they grow, they kind of forget the struggle. They forget kind of the challenges mm-hmm. in the path they walk. They kind of think like it's so far away, and they no longer, you know, open their hearts mm-hmm. to have the compassion that they ought to have for someone else. So I think a lot of times, unfortunately, that is the challenge, is that people lose sight of even, you know, the crosses that they had to bear to even get the growth in their life that they have gotten.
Absolutely. That's a very good point. That's a very good point. Very good point. And I totally agree with you. I heard Minister Henderson, I believe that was you.
No, it was me, Kimmy.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead. Well, I was just going to reiterate, before we can even start to minister to someone, in my experience, people won't open up to you until they can feel that they can trust you. They feel that mm-hmm. you aren't judgmental. They feel that you truly care. So before you can really actually say something, I'm talking about in St. Louis, before you can really talk to them, here you have to meet their needs, and then that icebreaker has to be in place, because we can say Jesus told me this, but they may not receive that, and you're walking away. But if you notice how Jesus did, he was just a proactive listener. He didn't do a lot of talking. He mostly just, you know, like at the woman at the well, he was more of a minister than a person that talks, because I really think when you listen more, people will tell you what's going on with them anyway. Because I used to just go up to people and say, God loves you and, you know, you're great. But sometimes they may not see that. So sometimes we have to allow them to get whatever is on their chest off before they can even receive a word from the Lord. And I'm speaking for experience as well, because that's how I was as well. I mean, people may say, oh, you know, you should do this. Oh, you should do that. But they're not really meeting what I need to hear. And so when I met my pastor in Atlanta, that's when I start opening back up, because I really felt that we...
Uh-oh, what happened?
You still there?
Oh, that...
Hello, can you hear?
We can hear you.
Okay, I think your mic has gone out just a little bit. Amen. Minister Henderson, were you going to add anything on to that?
Well, I just agree with everything that was said already. You know, love is defined in the Bible as being patient, being kind. And I like what First Lady said about having a heart of compassion. I mean, it really starts with your heart and having that compassion. And also not being prideful, so prideful that you look down on others because they're not where you expected them to be. And still just having that sense of you know, still being compassionate to see them and meet them where they are until they can get to where they need to go, and taking your time and being patient and working and helping them to get to where they need to go. And that sense of discernment comes in there too, because you're not just judging them because you see an outcome, but you know, because you don't know what their story is and how they got there. But when you take the time to talk to people and get some insight on what's going on with them, then you are in a better position to help them without making them feel belittled because you're trying to reach out to them. So just having that heart of compassion, being patient and kind, and not letting pride get in the way, or even competition get in the way of helping somebody else come up.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, pride, judgmental, competition, all of that gets in the way of really reaching out and being that true servant that God has called us to be. And I think when you get those things out of the way, you know, and get self out of the way, then you can be a better servant and loving and showing that love one to one another. And I think being judgmental and forgetting where you once came from. I heard First Lady say that, which is good. And sometimes we get delivered and, you know, and we forget where we came from. So we see someone else and now we turned, you know, we got our nose turned up, you know, because you forgot where you once came from. And that shouldn't be. That should not be the attitude of a believer. And matter of fact, our experiences and our backgrounds ought to make us even more sensitive, because we can identify where we once were. And I think it's so important as believers that we don't forget where we once came from. You may not have came from the exact same background, the exact same challenge, but you've been somewhere that you had a challenge, you know, and you had to overcome it too. So we have to always keep that in mind when we are reaching out to someone else, to have that same compassion that God showed us, that same patience, that someone took time to be patient with us. And that's so important as believers that we show that same kind of love. I want to go into this next question: is how should we apply the lesson of the Good Samaritan with how we share the gospel with others? How should we apply this lesson of the Good Samaritan as we share the gospel message with the lost? How does this lesson apply when we're dealing with the lost? See that the priest came and he saw this man who was beaten, who had been robbed, and he walked by on the other side. We see the Levite, he came and he walked by on the other side. And then we see the Samaritan who came, and, you know, he wasn't a priest, he wasn't a Levite, he wasn't a, you know, they didn't give him any title,
He was just a Samaritan, and he saw him, and he had compassion on him, and he went to him, mm-hmm. and he bound up his wounds, and he poured in the oil and the wine, and he set him on his own beast, and he brought him to the inn so that he could take care of him. How does this apply? How does this blessing, you know, show us how we should minister to the lost? Go ahead.
Well, maybe this is not the answer to what you're saying, but if you truly have the love of God in your heart and you see mm-hmm. somebody in need of something, you will not walk away from them. You just can't walk away from them. You have to walk to them. The love of God just draws you right to that person. So I'm thinking, and this is, I'm going to just say something. There's a gentleman that, there's a homeless gentleman, and he was had a sign. You know how they have signs, and he was asking for money. Now, I was driving in my car, and I gave the guy some money. He was on in the medium on the road, and I gave him some money. And there was an individual in my car, another Christian, a believer, and she said to me, "Why did you give that person money? That you don't know that person, and you gave him some money." Oh, I did say, "God," when I gave him the money, I said, "Jesus loves you. And he's always going to be taken care of you. Do you know him?" And he said, of course, he said, "Yes, I know him." And I couldn't stop because the light had turned green, so I had to keep going. And anyway, the person said, "What?" In the car, said, "Why did you give that man money? He's going to take that money and go get something to drink." And I said to him, "How do you know that?" "I don't know whether or not that person needs money. I just know in my heart I felt to give him. In my heart I felt to give him some money. I didn't give him a lot of money, but I gave him a couple quarters." Mm-hmm. Now, I'm asking you ladies, I saw myself as being a good Samaritan. I just felt to give him the money. What would you have done? How do you determine in an instance like that when a person needs and when they don't need? Can you determine that? Is that something you know, or
no.
How do you handle that?
I go based on my discernment. I can't determine that because I'm not God. So I ask God, and
absolutely.
If he tells me to do it, I just do it, and I don't worry about what I do. Because that's
absolutely.
Not my business. That's between him and God. That's what I do.
My sentiments exactly. But I'm surprised and amazed at how many believers. But I'm not speaking negative of anybody. But how many know that? But I understand also that, as somebody said earlier, we're growing every day, and everybody's
mm-hmm.
not hasn't grown in certain areas. We may be good in one area, but we may not be grown up in that area yet, so I can understand.
Absolutely.
But mm-hmm.
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, and another comment
that
I make,
I cannot judge. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, the other comment I'm thinking about the question that Pastor Henderson asked, and I guess I think what we're called to do is to not only incidentally help those that we see, but also to intentionally seek to be a blessing to those that may be in difficult situations. So that
mm-hmm.
is why, yes, we are called to serve in prisons, and why we are called to serve in places that on the surface may seem undesirable. So that may mean you go to certain communities and neighborhoods in different situations where, you
mm-hmm.
may not feel the most comfortable, but you have to trust God that he's going to cover you, that he's going to protect you,
mm-hmm.
and you are called to go forth and be a blessing and serve, that somebody will not be lost as a result of that ministry. So
mm-hmm.
I believe that is what we're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
I agree, because I really believe that is what we're supposed to do, because God did it for us. And secondly, that is our lifestyle.
Absolutely.
He said that we are a servant. So we become a servant
absolutely.
Of the Most High. We don't have a choice in the matter. Our life is no longer our own. So it says in the word that we are bought with a price. So we must present ourselves as a living sacrifice. Sacrificing means you may not, I'm telling you, there are times I don't feel like going to church, but God be like, "You better go to church and get a word." There are times you don't feel like doing, I'm just keeping it 100. I don't feel like doing things in the Lord. But then the Holy Spirit pricks me like, "Really? Remember yesterday?" It's like, "Okay, God, I'm getting up." But I'm telling you, he talks to you. He is like
mm-hmm.
a real
he
God.
Yeah.
He is so humorous.
Yeah.
He was like, really? You just told me yesterday that if I get you out of this situation, you're going to do more. I'm telling you, it's amazing how God is. I just be like, wow, God, you're so amazing.
That's good. That's really good. He is truly amazing. Truly amazing. And it goes on to say that he went out of his way. He bound up his wounds. You know, he did all this. Mm-hmm. He put himself in harm's way because he didn't know what had happened to the man. He didn't know if the robber or whatever was going to come back. So he put himself in harm's way to take care of this person because he was more concerned about his well-being than his well-being, you know. And so this is a selfless act that he was showing. Mm-hmm. And also when we reach out to the lost, we're reaching out to them with a continual care because not only do we witness to them and share the good news with them, but we also have to disciple them. That means we have to take time with them. We have to help them to develop, help them to grow. You know, after we give them the word, we might have to sit with them and teach them, let them sit under your tutelage, you know, so you can tutor them and tell them the basics and the foundational truths and not just assume that they're just going to pick it up and run with it. But the Lord not only told us to witness, but we're to make disciples. And so that takes time, and that means that we have to be willing to sacrifice our time and sacrifice our desires and what we want to do because of the love of Christ in us that compelled us to extend ourselves beyond ourselves. And so that's what this man did. He wasn't concerned about, if he was concerned, he didn't let it affect him for taking time to bind up his wounds, because that took time. He poured the oil on him, then he took him to the inn to take care of him. He was compassionate. He was concerned about his well-being. And then it says he went and took him there and said, and then he gave him money to the inn and said, when I come back, I'll pay you whatever else is needed. So it was a continual care, you know. And when we show love and we're discipling and winning the lost, we have to show that continual love, that continual sacrifice of compassion for them so that they can, their journey can go well in the Lord. You know, sometimes people just, they start out with you and then they leave you. They just leave you out there, and then you're there to try to strive, to try to walk this walk on your own, and you make so many mistakes, and then no one is there to kind of help you to live and walk this path and give you the tools you need. And so that comes with discipleship. That comes with discipleship. And how can this love, the love that this Samaritan showed, and I kind of gave it away too, because I said, how does it really compare to discipleship? Because discipleship, I mean, what does discipleship mean to you? I mean, what does discipleship mean when you're discipling or witnessing? What does it mean to you to disciple somebody?
Teach.
Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, so you're teaching. Right, so it's a continual teaching, it's an imparting, it's a giving, you know, it's sharing and imparting and making that connection in that discipleship. So I kind of tied it into the other question because I wanted to see how you compare what he did to discipleship and winning the loss, and that is a continual process. And so he continued his care. Then he said he's coming back. He didn't just leave him at the end. He says, when I come back, then I'll do it. So he was going to come back and check on him. How many of us really extend ourselves to the point that we go out of our way? You know, we pick up somebody or do something for somebody, but we don't ever go back and see how they're doing. You know, you heard of somebody who just lost their loved one or heard of someone that had a serious challenge in their life. You might have called them once, but you don't never really follow up ever again to see how are they still doing. You know, when you talked to them last, they were doing kind of okay, but did you continue the continuation to really see how they were doing? You know what I'm saying? It's a continual care because love is something that constantly is constantly developing and it's constantly present until that person is able to get on their feet. So he didn't just leave them there, but he came back to check on them. And I think as believers, we got to be more diligent with following up with people, especially during this pandemic. Mm-hmm. People are hurting. People are going through challenges. And they're looking for somebody to know that somebody cares about them and someone's concerned about what they're going through. So that's so important. And then my last question, I said, well, I have two. is there any basis to justify the behavior of the Levite in the place? Is there any basis to justify their behavior? So they walked on the other side. They didn't show any compassion. They just walked by. Is there any basis to justify what they did?
No, there's no justification.
Anybody want to comment on it? Go a little further.
Well, we all do it, so let's keep it 100. There are times people are like, I don't feel like being bothered. So there are times we may keep our eyes off of the real purpose at times, because I can't truly say that every time I see someone, I'm going to be like, oh, giddy, giddy. Yeah, we all fall short. But the thing is to ask for forgiveness and to continue on, because I have seen when people will overlook a prostitute. They need our help. But we'll talk about them. But but so we all have done it. So my life story is I can't speak for everyone, but let me say me. Well, I have done it before. So what I have come to realize is I take one opportunity at a time, and I try my best not to overlook people. But there are times I may not be able to minister. So what I'll do is say, I'll pray for you, or I'm sorry I don't have it today, or something like that. But, you know, I am still, you know, working on this wonderful journey. And one thing I have come to realize that I have not arrived. So I continue on pressing. That's what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So do we all agree that behavior is not justified, or is that it is not a behavior that should be attached to the believer? Is that right? It's not
exactly.
A justified behavior.
Not right.
Right.
I agree.
So it's not a justified.
Mm-hmm. But I think, like my sister said earlier, we all have fallen short and done it, you know. But we grow. We do it. But then we realize, I mean, the next time we think about what we did the last time, because the Spirit reminds us of it. So we grow in it. We grow to be able to just do it as God puts it before us to do. So even if you don't, if you blow it or don't do it a couple of times, I'm not going to say it's okay. It happens. You know, it's all a part of the growth. You cannot feel bad about it. I'm not saying we do, but you can't condemn yourself, because the Bible says no condemnation and damnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But it's done. It's something that we do. But it's a growing thing.
So
it's a growing thing for me. But.
Yeah. So this it's a behavior that's not justified. It's from my viewpoint, I would say it's never justified, and we can say that we all have had situations that we have seen that we could have extended ourselves a little bit more. So at those times when I find out, like, Lord, I should have did that. Oh, I should have called this person. I should have did that. I should have remembered to tell you about this. I should have did this. Then I ask God to forgive me quickly, because that's something that bothers me. You'll be here bring it back to me, like, you didn't do this. Or, you should have did that. And I quickly repent of it, because I know I don't want them to be attached to me, because God is love. And whatever God's concerned about, it should be our concern as well. So when he brings it back to me, I quickly get rid of it, and then I try to remember the next time if I'm in that situation, I'm not going to do the same thing again. So it is never justified behavior to see somebody in need and you ignore it. It's not just about giving of the money, but it's in prayer. It's in praying for them. It's extending yourself in whatever way. You may not have monetary goods to give, but you can pray. You can make a phone call. You can call somebody else to try to see who you can connect them with. It's all about connecting, that love connection. Having that love connection, is going to make you do something. It doesn't know it has to be money. It might be prayer. It might be spend time. It might go over there and say, can I wash your dishes? Can I help you, because I see that you had a surgery and you can't move around, so I stay here and I will help you cook your meals. I'll make sure you're charged and get on the bus. I mean, it could be simple things, but it don't always have to be monetary. So it's just keeping that love connection open so that God can filter his love through you to connect with somebody else. And then my last question is, are there any circumstances let's see, do I have this? Let's see. Are there any circumstances in which we should not assist somebody that is in a disadvantage? And I think we all agree that there is not. But I can ask that question, and then we're going to close out with the last one. Are there any circumstances in which we should not assist somebody who is in desperate need? Do you think there are there any circumstances when we should not?
I'm
still here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm thinking of one. I'm looking at a friend of mine who lives in an area that's unsafe. And she was telling me that, and she's a believer, and there was it was a shootout, okay? And she was in the area, and she didn't live there, but she was there. And the guy was shot, and the guy was laying on the ground. And so she wanted to go over and help the guy. But because of her life in danger, she didn't go. And she said, what should I have done? And I said, well, personally, I think you did the right thing. Because she really felt bad that she couldn't go help the guy. But, I mean, in circumstances like that, I asked you guys, what do you think? I just told her, hey, pray about it. And if you don't feel it, you're guilty about it, you know, if you feel that God's okay with it, good. But personally, I don't think I would have gone over and helped the guy either, not in the middle of a shootout.
Right.
I agree, because sometimes a prayer is, exactly. Sometimes prayer is all you need, because he knows exactly what that person needs. And when I sign up to be a evangelist, that is one of the things that we teach about. God doesn't want us to put ourselves in danger. So there are times
in danger,
the situation, and that is just as effective as ministering to someone. Because that's based on what we're taught. I really believe God would want you to be in danger while you're ministering to someone.
Absolutely.
And sometimes ministering
Absolutely.
To someone is not always, you know, touching. It could be far away. I can pray for someone in Africa because they're getting, you know, taunted by, they're getting bullied by those who are, and they are in danger. So what I do on a daily basis, I pray for those who are really, you know, persecuted for Christ's sake because they believe in Jesus and not studying the Muhammad. Because we do have those situations as well. So I think she did great. I really believe for her to have that compassion and still care and feel bad, that showed right there that she really cared because she wanted
Absolutely.
To help, but she was afraid. So I think God spoke to that situation.
Yeah, and that gives us that discernment and wisdom, you know. He gives us that counsel.
Yeah.
So he's not going to put you in harm's way. And the Lord's not going to lead you into a situation that he's not going there,
Absolutely.
You know, with you. So, yeah, you definitely want to be led by the Lord. He's in all of our ways to acknowledge him, and he'll direct our path. So,
yeah,
like I said,
absolutely.
A prayer can go further sometime than your presence. So, you know, you can pray, you know. A lot of times we hear sirens that go off and the ambulance and stuff like that. You can send a prayer there. You don't have to go on the scene to be there to see what's happening. But you can send a prayer there. Lord, bless that situation. Intervene. You send your prayers. That's still a part of your compassion, your connection with God's love in that situation. So, no, God doesn't want us to put, you know, you be led by God in all your ways. You know, that's what I told you, be led. If God's not leading you, that's not a situation that you walk into because he's not God's
Absolutely.
I totally agree with that. And my last question, amen, we thank the ladies, each one of you that's been on tonight. We're going to close out with this question. How have this discussion of the Good Samaritan, even though it's been a short one, impacted your view of how we should treat others? How has this discussion of the Good Samaritan impacted your view of how we should treat others? Others in need.
Well, as for me, this is one of our discussions that we have on our church on a really annually basis. So the Good Samaritan teaches us that We are all equal in Jesus Christ. There is no one above. Jesus can respect, bless you as well as me. He is not a person respectful, a respectful person. And so what this lesson teaches me is to love people no matter where they are, because that could be you at any time. We are all, saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, and compassion and love should be in your heart. God could have left me hanging, and it teaches me to show humility, because when you have humility and that meekness in your spirit, you will want to help someone, because no one is beneath you. The day that you believe that someone is beneath you, you need to pray that spirit out, because that is divisiveness, and unity is all about God. So that is what I would say.
Amen. Anyone else on the closing? Minister Henderson.
Yes, I would just say that this lesson about the Good Samaritan just gives us a sort of a picture of who Jesus is, and how we are to emulate him and what he did. The Good Samaritan, he stopped, he saw someone hurting, he bound up his wounds. The same way Jesus binded up our wounds and saved us. He poured oil on him the same way the Lord pours out his spirit on us. And then he came back. He said, I'm coming back for you again. Same way Jesus come back for us. So this is a story about Jesus in my eyes. And then it's telling us, teaching us that we need to be more like him and strive each day. We're not perfect, but we have to have that spirit of discernment in each and every situation and each and every person that we come into contact with to know how we are to display Christ to them so that they can see and also believe.
Beautiful.
Amen. First Lady, do you have any closing words?
No, I mean, I think my sister said that all very, very well. Because I do certainly believe that this lesson kind of reminds us that we are called to be and to continue to grow, to be more and more like Christ each and every single day. So it should be our mission to do that, and all that's involved to help that come to light. So, yes, we have to, we're not going to get there overnight. Yes, we're going to miss the mark sometimes and not do what he expects us to do. But as we continue to grow in him by focusing on him, focusing on his word, continuing in prayer, just continuing to focus on growing in him, then the fruit of the Spirit will come alive in us more and more every day, and we will be able, and we'll go forth and do what God has called us to do.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Very well said. Very well said. Amen. Mm-hmm. We thank and praise God for each one of you ladies that have joined us tonight, and I totally agree that this Samaritan is a type of Jesus Christ, and he was showing us how to be more like him, and it has been said that, yes, we're not there yet. We haven't arrived, so each day we are striving to be more and more like Jesus, more and more. I just said to Mary, to having love, having compassion. For again, we cannot have any connection with God and not have connection with our neighbor. For the connection that we have with God, we must have it for our neighbor. So he says, love thy neighbor as you love yourself and as you love God. For the connection that we have comes from God. Love our neighbor. And so our title tonight was the love connection. Let us keep our love connection tight to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can love people the way God loves people. God is concerned about relationships. He's concerned about souls. And if we love God, we're going to be concerned about souls as well. So I thank each one of you that have joined us on tonight, and I pray that you got something from the lesson tonight. At this time, we're going to turn it back into the hands of Bishop-elect Richards at this time.
Well, great discussion, ladies, and I do believe my brothers are on. I'm not going to comment too much because all that needed to be said was said, and if nobody heard it, well, there is a replay. You can go to the archives, go to blogtalkradio.com/elationsradio, and you can always pull this podcast back up, and you can go over it again. Let me see if my other two brothers are still here. Apostle Whitlow, are you here, sir?
Yes, my brother, the Lord bless you. And ladies, phenomenal job, great discussion. Your approach was wonderful. Your thought process was wonderful. And that's all I got to say.
All right. And I say the bestest for lastest. How about you, Apostle Smith? Are you still with us? Apostle Smith going once. Apostle Smith going twice. So to not being there for an unforenamed amount of money. Nonetheless, we bless God for each and every one of you. We thank God for you. We're coming down toward the end of the year, and I thank God that you picked that particular topic to talk about, because as we approach the Thanksgiving / Christmas holidays, as we would call it, I know many of us have loved ones that we've lost, and our hearts and minds go toward them, recognizing that it's going to be a difficult year without our favorite, our mother, father, sister, brother, aunt, uncle, nephew, niece, cousin, or whatever the case may be. But sincerely, in the mindset of the Good Samaritan, I would encourage each of us to think of those who are much worse off than we are, those who have less than we do, those who can't get what we have access to. And let's take a moment to really think about being a blessing to them. Without actually fasting, would you believe that Isaiah 58 comes into play when you go out and try to make somebody else's life better? I'm going to yield the rest of this time to you, Pastor Henderson, for the final say and the benediction. I thank you. Next Thursday, next Thursday we will be on, and we will carry up until the week before Christmas, at which time we'll shut down for the rest of the year and come back on the first Thursday in January. So keep that in mind. Those of you listening by way of radio, whether it's iHeartRadio, whether it's Spotify, whether it's Spreaker, whether it's Blog Talk, YouTube, wherever you're hearing this podcast at, we pray that you've gotten something out of it. I'm Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard Jr., your host tonight, Pastor Anna Henderson out of Indianapolis, Indiana, along with her wonderful, illustrious panel, and of course, the finest woman in all the world hanging out. I'm amazed she's even still awake, my baby, First Lady Richard. Y'all know who she is. Nonetheless, we're going to say God's best and blessed be granted to each and every one of you. Pastor Henderson, it's all yours for the final say and the benediction. And oh, wait, cannot forget, my oldest sister was in the house tonight. Apostle Flight, thank you for being here as well. Minister Henderson, I'm trying to make sure I didn't miss anybody. You know what they say, when you start calling names, you'll miss one or two. And, of course, Sister Kimmy Kim, it's always a blessing. You and I have to talk tomorrow because we got some extremely important stuff to talk about. Call me after 11 or when you get ready to go to lunch. I greatly appreciate it. But I just have blessed God that my beautiful oldest sister is in the house.
Yes.
For some of you, you can go back to our Facebook page and you can hear her teach on spiritual warfare, Dr. Eunice Young Booker. And I mean, I'm just so excited and elated about her. She'll tell you in a heartbeat, I think I'm the boss, but we know she's the oldest. That doesn't make her the boss. It just makes her the oldest. That's all it does. Nonetheless, we're going to get out the way. I think I said wait already. So come on, my sister, and take us on home.
Amen. We're just going to close out with a word of prayer. Amen. And we're going to have Apostle Willow to give the final benediction. Amen. Father God, we thank you again for our gathering on this. We thank you for those who joined us for the first time. Father God, thank you for each one. And Lord, we thank you, oh God, for this prayerful concern, the Good Samaritan. And Lord, we ask, oh God, that you would help us, oh God, how to show love the way that you show love, Father God, one toward another, Lord, that we will reach out during this holiday season, Father God, and reach out to someone who's less fortunate, someone who may be in need, someone, oh God, who just needs a little assistance, oh God, that our heart will reach out and make connection with them, oh God, and show them that love, Father God, whether it be with a phone call, whether it be with a meal, whether it be just supporting them during this time, oh God. Help us, oh God, hallelujah, to show love, oh God, hallelujah, the way you desire us to show love. We give you the praise and glory and honor. Bless every family represented on tonight, Father God. We thank you for them on tonight. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Apostle Whitlow. Close us out.
Amen. Thank God again for everything tonight. He said, we say, go with God, and he will go with you. Lord bless you. Dr. Kimmy, drop that track.
Well, fellas, hey, it's that time of year again, man. I'm so excited. Listen, let this happen for us. We made it through the year. We're all here, so let's do a big for everybody.
Holiday season, baby. We're going to have some fun. Let's do this thing, man. Let's do a big from us to you.
It's time for us to spread some love. It's a holiday cheer. It's that season, special time of the year.
So go and grab your family, friends too. Let's celebrate the baby boy that they mean you.
Let heaven and earth.